Blog Talk Radio.
Good day, good day, good day, and thank you for joining me. This is SMB Tech School. We are a preparatory school for career education, and my name is Rhonda Kay. This is the Pathology Part 2 class, and I am extremely excited about being able to be your instructor for this class. This is class number 2. This class will complete on Tuesday, where we will have 5 total classes, and we are working out of the Pathophysiology Concepts and Applications for Healthcare Professionals. This is by Thomas J. Nowak and A. Gordon Hanford. This is the 3rd edition, and it is a wonderful, wonderful piece of material. In order to simplify the material, I do encourage you to follow the anatomy and physiology as well as pathology portions of the study in your McGraw-Hill Medical Assisting book. So today we're going to be working out of Chapter 11, and it is the and it's going to cover circulatory shock. Okay, I do have a few admonishments to make for the class before we get started today, and just want to let you know that you do need to be sending me your attendance flag word at kbryan@smbtechschool.com, K-B-R-Y-A-N, at smbtechschool.com, as well as to our education admin office, at attendance@smbtechschool.com. If you have any questions for the students that are in my class that do know how to reach me by telephone or text message, you are more than welcome to give me a call at any time before 9 p.m. I'm usually available. Again, we're going to be working out of Chapter 11 today. This is going to be over circulatory shock. And before I do, I just want to say it's a beautiful day. So I decided to take my computer, my switchboard, my telephone outside and teach the class outside in the beautiful Georgia weather. So in the background, you might hear some of the birds and the bees just singing along and having a joyful, wonderful day just like I am. So please excuse the weather if you do hear the birds chirping and the bees singing. It is just beautiful for me. Anyways, I want to talk to you about circulatory shock. This is an acute and serious condition. It involves rapidly developing fall in the blood pressure, and that significantly reduces the blood flow to the tissues. Now, you know, earlier this week we talked about vascular diseases or diseases that affect your cardiac system. And we talked about the different organs that are affiliated and connected with the cardiac system, one being the pump, which is the heart, the great vessels, which is your arteries, your veins, and your capillaries, and then we talked about the blood. The blood has a huge responsibility, and it is to deliver oxygen to every system of the body in exchange for carbon dioxide so that we can get that out. So we talked about that. Well, I'm going to talk today about the circulatory system, the blood, and its abilities and the different things that it does when it flows through, you know, our vessels, when it flows through the tissues, and how that can have a very, 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 very detrimental situation to happen to our body should there not be enough blood flow. Okay, so we're going to do a little bit of reading. I usually don't like to teach and read, but because I want to grasp your attention to certain areas, I'm going to read a little bit, and then I'm going to explain it, and then I want you to read the entirety of the chapter. This is a very short chapter, so it should not be that much for you. So I want to start off, like I usually do, with giving a homework assignment. I had said in our last class that I was going to be giving you an assignment per the chapter that I'm going to teach out of this book, and it would be a report that you would have to do, a one-page type report over different diseases and disorders that I might go through. But for Chapter 11, I want to do something different. I do want you to read the chapter as your homework assignment. And then there are some review activities in the back of the chapter on page 306. There's only 4 of them, but it does have quite a bit of information. And for me, knowing that you have had to answer those questions in its entirety will solidify the fact that you have read the chapter. So I definitely want you to read the chapter, okay? Your attendance flag word I'm going to give you very, very early right now, but I am also going to give you an attendance question at the end of this study. So your attendance flag word today is going to be hypovolemic shock. Hypovolemic shock is your attendance flag word, and I will be giving you your attendance question, which both will have to go together in order to receive credit for this class. All right. So to maintain normal homeostatic balances, our tissues in our body depend on adequate blood flow reaching the microcirculation. Let's talk about what microcirculation is. The extensive networks of capillaries that pass among the cells of almost all of the tissues in our body, including the arterioles that supply them and the venules that drain them. That's microcirculation. Okay, so we're not only talking about the blood flowing through our arteries, through the greatest vessels that we have, which can withstand a super complex amount of pressure from the blood, okay? Let me draw you a picture. If you've ever driven somewhere or in your neighborhood, you have these fire hydrants, okay? But just like with Georgia Power and other, utility services, a lot of our utility services today are being taken underground, so you don't see a whole bunch of the wires that, you know, are in the streets that connect houses to houses anymore because they're putting them underground. So you may not see the water hydrants anymore, but there's still some in some areas. And so when the fire department comes out and they take their big old water hose and they connect it to it because there's a house fire and they're putting out the water, or they're putting out the house fire with the water, the amount of pressure that's coming out of that water hydrant is so much greater than the water that's coming out of the faucet in your kitchen, okay? And so those particular hoses can withstand that particular type of pressure. But if you got a regular water hose that you use in a residential property, it would not be able to withstand that type of pressure. So with respect to our arteries and also our veins, if you're looking at, you know, the artery can withstand a lot more pressure of blood in that particular artery than it would a capillary or a vein, okay? And so when we're talking about microcirculation, we are not only talking about the flow of blood through the arteries, but we're also talking about the flow of blood through the veins and also the capillaries. The capillaries have a little bit more, they all have some detailed responsibility, but I'll talk to you as we get into the lesson today about the additional responsibility that the capillaries have, because not only are we taking blood through these vessels, we are also taking out waste material and fluids and nutrients. We're taking nutrients as well as fluid and other waste molecules between the blood and tissue spaces. And this is going to happen, it is only in the capillaries that the vascular walls are adapted to accommodate the passage of these particular fluids that I've just told you about, the fluids, the nutrients, and waste molecules, okay? So when the blood adequately perfuses the microcirculation, nutrient supply and waste removal are consistent with normal function. So all of those things that are happening to the body are normal, and they are consistent, and it brings out a positive homeostatic level to the body, okay? If this is not happening, then it is not normal homeostasis, okay? When the perfusion declines, the tissue life is threatened. So in other words, again, if this is not happening, then the life of the tissues in our body is threatened. You might think, oh, okay, well, it's just tissue. Honey, you have tissue all in your body. You know, whether it's your cardiac system, whether it's your respiratory system, whether it's your reproductive system, you don't want any part of the body to be have a decreased amount of fluid, nutrients, and or blood that's racing through those vessels, because what happens is that particular part of the vessel is going to become dried out. It is not going to have the nourishment that it's supposed to have, and different things are going to happen. You know, you could go into shock, okay? You could have a heart attack. I've explained to you guys before in classes, when a person has a myocardial infarction, because there is a deficit of blood flow, and if there's a deficit of blood flow, there's a deficit of oxygen that is related to that particular area of the heart where there is a deficit. In other words, let's just say the superior vena cava, and that's a huge one, but let's just say that particular vessel is occluded for some reason or another. The area that is occluded, imagine the other areas of the body's organs being nice and bright and pink because it's supposed to, but that area looks a little bit whitened because there's an occlusion there and the blood can't get to that area. Well, that area is eventually going to harden off. Okay, it's just like people that are animal lovers when they like dogs and cats and different things, especially dogs. And they want the dog to have a more of a bully, masculine type look, so they have his tail cut off. Okay, and he has a little bitty stubby tail now. Well, if you cut off any area of the body from receiving blood flow, that area is going to become numb, that area is going to become dry, and that tissue is going to slough off, that tissue is going to die. And so when a person is having a myocardial infarction or a heart attack, that particular area of the skin or of that particular organ has died off, and no area of our alive body, of our organs in any way, is supposed to die. So when that does happen, it causes a decline in that particular tissue, which can cause detrimental effects in the body. Okay, so let's talk about adequate arterial blood pressure. Adequate blood flow in the microcirculation depends on arterial blood flow. This is the blood flow in your arteries. Okay, this is the driving force that moves the blood throughout the body's vessels, okay? Now, hey, look at it like this. You have an adult person. You have a child, okay? And then you have a baby. Those are three different levels and three different steps in life. Let's just say this adult person is 30 years old. They're nicely in shape, and they can walk, and they can run really fast like in a marathon. Then you have your child, okay? They just started really learning how to walk really good, and they can run a good pace. And then the baby hasn't learned to walk yet, so the baby is crawling. A person that has the level of attributes that allow them to work productively can look back in life and be able to see the levels that they have accomplished. Okay, from the greatest all the way down to the least. And so if you look at our cardiac system, okay, it is derived of three major vessels. The one that is the driving force that sets the tone for the venules or the veins, and then smallest form of venules, which would be your capillaries. The arteries are the driving force behind what they can do. If it wasn't for the arteries, the veins would not be able to do what they're supposed to do, and the arteries would not be able to do what they're supposed to do. All right? One is the cardiac output. Okay, let me talk to you. There's three factors that combine to determine blood pressure. There's three. The very first one is cardiac output. This is the blood that is pumped by the heart into systemic circulation. Systemic circulation is system circulation. What system? Your body. Your body is one system. There's none other like it in the entire world, not by an animal, not by an insect, not by plants, not by other humans, or even aliens, if you will. There's only one, and that is yours. So systemically, whatever is going on in the chemical makeup of your body, that cardiac output pumped by your heart is going system-wide to deliver your body in every department of your body, the respiratory system, the digestive system, your immune system, your muscular system, your skeletal system. It is pumping blood into those areas in order to feed it the oxygen, other nutrients, and to pick up the waste material and also to get the carbon dioxide that it does not need in order for your body to be effective. Okay? The second factor is the plasma that fills the vascular spaces. Okay? In our hematology class, well, we have that class next term, so I'll skip that part. But the study of blood cells allows us to understand the difference between our plasma and the difference between our serum. So we'll go into that in the next class, okay? And then thirdly, the degree of constriction produced by arteriolar smooth muscle tension. Let's get that again. The third function of arterial blood pressure, okay, is the degree of constriction produced by arteriolar smooth muscle tension. The degree of constriction that is produced by the arteries through the smooth muscle tension. Both cardiac pumping and vessel wall tension are regulated by the autonomic nervous system. Its sympathetic and parasympathetic branches provide input to the heart. There is only sympathetic input in our arteries. Okay? So for a part of your study today, for a part of your homework assignment, I've given you your homework assignment, but I am going to talk in a little bit more detail because as we go through this, we're also going to talk about some diseases and disorders that affect the nervous system. I think that's going to be our next to the last chapter that we're going to go over. But in that, I'm going to have you – today, I'm going to – at the end of the class, we're going to talk about what I want you to do to have a better understanding of your autonomic nervous system. Within that system, you have your parasympathetic and your sympathetic nervous systems. And in order for you to understand what I'm talking about, you're going to have to understand the autonomic nervous system that's in the two areas that are within it, which is your parasympathetic and your sympathetic. Okay, so we're going to talk about that, and that's going to be a part of your attendance flag word, so you can't miss it. All right? Now, circulating vasoconstrictors principally – your epinephrine and your angiotensin number 2 are also important in regulating systemic arteriolar tension, all right? So there's a couple of hormones that are also going to be responsible for the regulation of how our blood pumps, for how our circulating vasoconstrictors operate, all right? Those are two. It's your epinephrine and your angiotensin number 2. Those particular hormones are there to regulate this process. All right, let's talk about the mechanisms of circulatory shock. Systemic blood pressure is determined by the relationship of three key elements: the heart's pumping, arteriolar constriction, and the blood volume. Let's go over those again. There's three key elements, all right, that determine systemic blood pressure is determined by the relationship of these three elements, which is the way your heart pumps, your arteriolar constriction. In other words, your arteries, how they constrict when they're pumping. You know, it's just not a tube that blood is running through. You know, it is pumping. It is a pumping action by the heart, and those vessels are shooting blood through it the way that it's supposed to or not. Okay, and then the amount of blood volume that's involved in it. Okay, these are the systemic blood pressure is determined by these three elements. In other words, the blood that is going through your body system is determined by these three areas. Okay, and if you really think about it, it makes sense. If your heart's not pumping sufficiently, is all systems of your body going to get the amount of blood that it needs? No. Okay, so this is gonna in your mind you should be thinking, okay, I'm not getting enough blood, somebody's gonna go into shock pretty soon. And then the second one is your arteries constriction. How effective are those venules, the veins and the arteries, being able, specifically your arteries, how effective is it in making sure the volume or the It's responsibility in making sure the blood runs through it is running through it appropriately. And then lastly, the volume of the blood. okay? What deals with that? How do we know how much volume of blood we're supposed to have that the arteries are supposed to be making sure gets to our bodies systemically, okay? I want to talk about that. In circulatory shock, this normally balanced relationship is abruptly thrown out of equilibrium. When we are not normal, when we are getting ready to go into shock because something is wrong with those three basic elements, we are going to go into circulatory shock. You say, why is circulatory? Because it's the circulatory system. The circulatory system is not doing what it's supposed to, so it's going to spaz and be like, oh, my God, and it's going to go into shock, whatever that shock is, okay? One of these cardiac malfunctions, okay, which causes cardiac output to decline are based on only three basic patterns of the pathogenesis, of how pathogenesis operates. These areas will contribute to circulatory shock, okay? With less blood pumped into the vascular system, your blood pressure drops, and it is the result of cardiogenic shock. Again, when there is less blood pumped, so what are we talking about? We're talking about the heart's pumping. That's your first element in your circulatory shock. All right? So you can best believe that if we're going to go into circulatory shock, then the heart is also going to go into cardiogenic shock. And this is a rapid loss of blood from the circulatory system that can cause a rapid fall in the blood pressure. Shock due to such a lack of circulatory blood volume is called hypovolemic shock. Okay, again, hypovolemic shock is the lack of circulating blood volume, which was the third area of circulatory shock. Okay, so we have hypovolemic. Hypo is low, volemic is going to be your volume. Okay, so when we're talking about those areas, because we have a decreased amount of blood volume, you can rest assured that we're probably more than likely going to go into shock. I'm going really deep here, so we're running out of time. And then let's talk about a third one, and we'll talk about vascular shock. Vascular shock results from widespread dilation of the systemic arterioles. Widespread dilation of systemic arterioles. Okay, our arteries, systemically, if they are not contracting and they're very dilated, if they're not doing what they're supposed to and they're very dilated, but we have a decreased amount of blood flow, the pump, the heart is not working right, the arterial constriction is not working right, we are absolutely going to go into widespread vascular shock. So not only is our heart going to be acting really funky, but our circulatory system is going to be acting really funky. All of the organs that are associated with the cardiovascular system are going to go into shock, and we are going to be in quite a bit of trouble. Okay, so let's talk about primary shock for a little bit here, a couple of minutes. You know, with primary shock is also known as neurogenic shock. And this particular type of shock is, it can come from fainting or emotional trauma, intense pain, or other threatening, vivid experiences. Even the sight of blood. Somebody say, oh, my God, I get really sick when I see blood. What's happening is two or three of the systemic blood pressure determined relationship of the three key elements has something has happened bad. Okay, so let's go through it. It says any given case of circulatory shock will usually be the result of one of these three basic mechanics, but two or even three may contribute to the overall loss of pressure. See, we're talking about when we get into these three declinations of these three elements that causes us to have systemic circulation, when two or three of them are going wrong, then obviously there's going to be a decrease in blood pressure. Your blood pressure is not going to go too high. It's going to come too low. So you're going to go ahead. You're going to have some issues with hypotension because of the fact that the body is not receiving the amount of blood flow and oxygen systemically for the body to feel like it's normal, okay? And, again, this can come from something as simple as the sight of blood, okay? I want you to understand that the term neurogenic, it's talking about the nervous system, all right? Understanding, as we spoke yesterday, we were talking about every system of the body communicating with the nervous system in order for it to get permission to function as it's supposed to function, all right? And so when the nervous system is saying, oh, my God, well, you know what? I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean can your heart beat? Aren't you a heart? Well, I'm not going to give you any. I can't think right now. I'm not getting enough blood to my head, and that's why you're feeling kind of dizzy, and that's why you feel kind of weak, and you're asking me all these questions, and so you know what? I'm just going to sit here. Am I supposed to think or not? The nervous system is also affected by this decreased amount of blood flow. We're going to start to feel really like we're going to faint. We're going to start to feel like we have a headache. We're going to start to feel like we're sick. We're going to start to feel fatigue. We're going to start to feel really, really bad. And the nervous system is not going to be able to give off the permissions that it is generally responsible to do in order for the rest of the body to be in homeostasis. Okay? So let's we talked about three different types of shock. We've talked about cardiogenic shock, hypovolemic shock, as well as vascular shock. We've also talked about primary shock, but primary shock is neurogenic shock. Okay. Let's go ahead and get you to turn now to page 296, figure 11.4, and this talks about the principal causes of cardiogenic shock. I want you to look at all of these particular figures. 11.5 talks about burns and shocks. Hypovolemic shock can really, it's a condition arising from the inadequate circulation of blood volume, which we talked about, and the most hypovolemic shock is a hemorrhage, is when you're hemorrhaging, which makes sense because now you're going to have a rapid loss of blood. Okay, so a hemorrhagic shock would likely take a person into hypovolemic shock because hypo is low volume. Okay, there's no volume. So when you're hemorrhaging, you're going to lose volume, okay? And you can lose volume when you have burns, or when you, first-degree burn, second-degree burn, third-degree burn, all of those different types of burns can cause, obviously, blood loss, all right? So vascular shock, I want you to go ahead and continue to read about that. And vascular shock can also, another type of vascular shock is when you have an anaphylactic shock. This involves an immune response following a second exposure to a foreign agent. In other words, if you have something in your body that's not supposed to be there, whether you've taken some medication or you had a bug bite or a dog bite or something and you go into anaphylactic reaction, then it can cause you to go into vascular shock, okay? I want you to read more about compensation shock, therapy and shock, and then the progression in shock, systemic effects of shock, and the progression of shock. It's an extremely interesting chapter. Please read on 305 where it talks about the irreversible shock. We have totally and completely run out of time today. I have appreciated being with you. Please visit us online at www.smbtechschool.com and follow us on Twitter as well as Facebook for more information about our school. Thank you so incredibly much again. Your attendance question is, what is the autonomic nervous system and how does it relate to the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous systems? Okay, send me that. to my email, and I'll talk to you really soon. Thank you so much, and have a great, great rest of your day. Bye-bye.